WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldane. It's Tuesday, November 22nd. Coming up, urban farms can take blighted vacant lots and turn them into green space that provides food for neighborhoods. But farmers often struggle to get the land they need. We'll learn more in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The nationwide shortage of a common antibiotic has hit local pharmacies. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, doctors can still help patients find some version of amoxicillin.
Children sometimes get ear or urinary tract infections when they get a respiratory virus like the flu. Doctors prescribe antibiotics like amoxicillin for the bacterial infections, but amoxicillin has been in short supply nationwide since late October. Linda Fred is the Vice President of Pharmacy Services for Carle Health. She says while this is a particularly bad respiratory season, pharmacies have been navigating shortages for decades.
We're really very practiced at working with the physician. I can't get this particular medication. These are the two or three things that I do have available.
Fred says the federal government is trying to expand pharmacy manufacturing within the United States. Fred expects this to help decrease shortages. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
As Thanksgiving approaches, rising food prices could make it harder to prepare a healthy meal that's also not overly expensive. The average cost for Thanksgiving dinner in Illinois is expected to jump about 13% this year. That's according to the latest Thanksgiving cost survey from the American Farm Bureau. Julie Schumacher is a registered dietitian and professor at Illinois State University. If you have vegetarians or others with dietary restrictions on the guest list, you could make two different versions of the same recipe, or
think about how a recipe could be modified without spending extra money. Sometimes it's just not including a particular ingredient, which in the end makes it cheaper anyway.
Substituting sides with gluten-free dishes would be another option. The city of Urbana is offering a free leaf recycling program through the month of November. Illinois Student Newsroom's Miranda Zonka has more.
Drivers begin collecting Urbana residents' leaves around 6 a.m. on designated mornings. They then deliver the leaves to Urbana's Landscape Recycling Center to be turned into compost over the next year. Recycling coordinator Courtney Kwong says this is a responsible way to dispose of leaves. She says environmental protection laws make it both illegal to burn the leaves and for garbage haulers to collect them.
I encourage people to see where their leaves end up and kind of watch the full circle of what happens when you compost your leaves.
Kwong says all residents should take advantage of the service and visit the Landscape Recycling Center located at 1210 East University Avenue in Urbana. For Illinois Student Newsroom, I'm Miranda Zonka.
The Illinois women's basketball team improved to 5-0 on the season with an 84-55 win over Oakland University last night in Champaign. Four Illini scored in double figures, led by Makaira Cook with 18 points. Illinois head coach Shauna Green says one key to her team's early success has been the extra work they've put in on their shooting.
It's a very simple game. You want to really, like life, right? You want to be really good at something. You got to work really, really hard. And it's really, really hard to be an elite shooter. And you got to get a ton of reps in. And repetition leads to confidence. Confidence leads to success. And our kids have bought into that.
It's the team's best start in eight seasons. Next for the Illini is a trip to Florida, where they'll face Charlotte on Friday and Delaware on Saturday in the Daytona Beach Invitational. Still to come, a look at why it's often difficult for urban farms to get the land they need. That story from Harvest Public Media is coming up next on 217 Today.
The U.S. and the Holocaust is a new three-part documentary that tells the story of how America grappled with one of the greatest humanitarian crises of the 20th century. The film dispels competing myths that Americans either were ignorant of the persecution that Jews faced or that they looked on with callous indifference. Directed by Ken Burns, Lynn Novick, and Sarah Botstein, The U.S. and the Holocaust explores questions that still resonate today. Learn how you can stream all three parts at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldane. Urban farmers that want to buy land often look to vacant lots. It seems like a win-win for the farmers and the city. The farmers get the land they need and can bring more food security to their neighborhoods. And the vacant lots are taken care of while the city gets more green space. But as Harvest Public Media's Eva Tesfaye reports, urban farmers often struggle to get that land.
Mediatrice Nyankuru moved to Kansas City 7 years ago from East Africa. For the last several years, she's grown crops here that you might not normally see in the Midwest, like these African plants.
cassava leaves, mochicha, and white eggplant.
Originally from Burundi, Niankuru is part of a farm training program in Kansas City, Kansas, called New Roots for Refugees. It trains participants on farming methods and helps them establish their own businesses. Niankuru recently graduated, and she's moving on to a piece of land she bought with another farmer. But it's not as big as she'd like.
You see, my garden is still small. But the problem, too, is no water.
The lack of water access and the inability to buy more land has kept them from moving off of the New Roots training farm. It's only supposed to be a four-year program. But program manager Semra Fetahovic says it's been increasingly difficult for their farmers to acquire land, so they end up staying longer.
This year, we're actually leasing land to 6 graduates that can still rent land here. Next year, I think that number will be 10.
For many of their farmers, it's been difficult to get a hold of the owners of vacant lots, who often live elsewhere. Even if they do get in touch, the owners may not want to sell.
I think that's a really big frustration, being in an urban setting, is you just see so many vacant lots, yet the owners like don't want to let go of them.
There's a multitude of private actors in that space, right? Likely some of whom are people holding on to it, hoping it goes up.
Janelle O'Keefe is from the Center for Community Progress, a national nonprofit that helps cities deal with systemic vacancy. One of the ways that cities do that is by starting a land bank, a department that acquires vacant land and sells it. O'Keefe says farmers often have to deal with both land banks and private owners, as cities typically only own a portion of the vacant land. And land banks aren't always excited about selling those lots for farms and gardens.
What we've seen through conversations and work we've done is the prevailing notion that the highest and best use of a property is something bricks and mortar.
Detroit is a city that is known for having a lot of vacant land. Its land bank has about 60,000 vacant lots. Since a land bank was formed in 2008, it's been a little easier to buy property. That's according to Tapfira Rushton. She's the co-founder of Detroit Black Farmer Land Fund.
We've come a long way, and we have a ways to go.
Rushton says before the land bank, there were lots of different entities that owned vacant land and no clear process on how to buy it. But even with the Detroit Land Bank Authority, she says the city still doesn't prioritize urban gardening.
It's a secondary priority, not even a secondary. It's like a cute thing that people are doing in their eyes.
Rushton believes that land access would get easier if cities just recognized the value of urban farms. A land bank spokesperson said their goal is to return these properties to productive use. Back in Kansas City, Kansas, the land bank only sold one property to an urban farm in the past 2 years. It prioritizes single-family housing. Andrew Davis is a commissioner for the unified government of Wyandotte County and Kansas City, Kansas.
I don't think we have to choose.
Davis says the land bank is in the process of changing its policies, and he thinks there's enough land to go around.
I think there's a way in which we can gardens and farmers thrive in KCK, all while still having that aggressive movement for single-family homes.
But he also says many of his colleagues don't agree, especially because houses generate more property taxes than gardens. Urban farmers argue they bring their own value to neighborhoods with productive green spaces and healthy food. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Eva Tesfai.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be sunny and warmer today with a high of 54 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Ryan Denham, Miranda Zonka, and Eva Tesfai. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.